What's going on, everybody? This be your boy, DJ Anonymous, with Sports Biz Music, episode 27. And I got two special guests. I have VVX, I have Sedum, and I have Dino. What's going on with y'all?
Be Gucci.
Living.
So, first thing first I want to ask is, how did y'all come up with the name VVX?
So it's kind of a play on two things. So the first one being VVS diamonds being the highest clarity in diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a play on that. So just changing the S to X. And then in Roman numerals, V equals 5 and X equals 10. So it's like two halves equal whole. Mm-hmm. Her and I coming together. So it's just like 5 plus 5 equals 10.
Okay. So how long y'all been producing separately? How long y'all been doing that for?
Well, for me, I started in 11th grade, which is 09. I started producing since 09. And ever since then, it's been history. Had a lot of friends that rap, so I just started producing.
Okay, and what about Soup Dinner?
I started in about 08.
08?
Yeah, and that was just because I was like in band. Mm-hmm. When I was in school, so music was just always a part of it. And then I had a couple of friends that wanted to do like rock music.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of joining them, and we were recording like on a shitty little computer.
Armians?
No, it was before that, man.
Shit.
Before
that. Hey, man, as a DJ, I remember when I first started DJing at 15, I had the virtual DJ on the desktop.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I had That's to classic. Use the effects and stuff like that.
Yeah,
man.
I had to you drag the song inside.
Yeah, man. So Dino, so you was more on rock.
In band it was like, you know, jazz and whatever else they did in band. But then when I got out of that, I started doing music on my own. It was like metal, like punk and metal.
Okay, so So how did all this happen? Because I'm pretty sure you was with what the R&B hip hop.
Yeah, I was basically R&B hip hop. I mean, you can say that, but my influences was like Cudi at the time.
Yeah, cause.
So it was like that type of realm of production. So whether it's R&B, hip hop, I don't know, but yeah, and it was techno. I love techno. So
the whole group started when? How did y'all even meet?
That was with Matt.
Yeah, through Matt the rapper from the Nobody. Shout out to Matt. Shout out to Ja.
Okay.
He was making a debut project at the time, and he needed like something to help him finish it up. So, mm-hmm. Ja told me to hit up Matt and see what's popping. And I hit him up through Twitter when it started popping and see if he wanted to be on my beat. And he said, yeah. And Dino happened to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was recording at Fatal Studio at the time. And he was like, what the fuck? And he invited me to be an intern at the studio at the time. And since then, it's been like a relationship. Not like, you know.
like a
business relationship. So our sound meshed together at the time, was making like extraordinary shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like past it was that 2012, 2013 was making like stuff that resonates now.
Yeah,
back
yeah.
then.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of just stuck with it. Like, you just rare to find producers you mesh with.
Mm-hmm.
Compatible in sound, because you know the whole 808 heavy, trap heavy thing is on, you know. So finding him, and he's not so trap heavy or so AOA heavy, but still has those abilities, and it was like a blessing in disguise. So I'm like, man, I'm not letting this nigga go.
Because y'all both have different sounds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I know y'all, I know pretty much y'all was in the studio and y'all was just listening to y'all sounds. Y'all was trying to, I don't know, like as a producer, I never made beats before. So I don't know how it works well. Like, okay. She like this or he like this, I can put my sound in her sound or vice versa. That's how it all started.
It's like, so like with the Matt song.
Yeah.
What was the name again on that one?
Straight Though.
Straight Though. Mm-hmm. Love, yeah. I heard that record and it was just like, she brought such a different sound to hip hop in that mm-hmm. sound. So I was just like, yo, this is phenomenal. So when I had her come through, like the way that I think it kind of initially started was, we would just pull up an empty project and just start banging away at a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we just like, okay, I like this part, I like this part, I like this part. Let's get rid of this, and then let's keep building with what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, now, a lot of times, because we're so busy, she'll do something, and then she'll send it to me, and then I dissect that and add to it, or vice versa.
Well, mostly me sending him. Mm-hmm. I don't like him sending me stuff, because I don't have the program he uses to do.
So y'all pretty much like Cool Ninja. pretty much. Like, in, like not the same sound.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about terms of, like, the teamwork, you know, to the, like, I may be in L.A., but I'm going to send you this from Miami so you can fix it up.
I mean, it's one time he went to Chicago, and he had to mix the whole EP in Chicago, so.
On vacation.
On vacation. The EP you heard on, she's out now. On the website, fiddle.com. He actually was like, okay, deadline, you have to release this now. We can't miss, you already missed like, what, two deadlines already?
Yeah.
He was like, come on, bro. Like, okay, cool. Every day he sent a track, each time we run, it was like, yo, okay, this mix is bad, send another one. It was like, yeah, we got it. Because now, like, we're in a world where it's like, you don't even have to be in studios. And what's a studio, by the way? Like, if you know how to produce and do everything on your own, what's what is a studio? So
exactly,
it's basically like bouncing off of stems and create off in your own space when you're comfortable is best. Because I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm comfortable around him in the studio, but at the same time, if I'm at the moment I'm not inspired for that track, I can go home and take it home and I can work on it. And
okay, so y'all pretty much, you know, y'all love working together, but it be times where y'all just want to go back, kick back in your own realm and just...
Times we want to, but necessarily not because we want to. It's because we all work. You know, we both work. I work nights now. He works days. So it's kind of a conflict of scheduling. So, but whenever we can work, we work.
Okay.
So it's not like we all right, Nate, stay over there. I don't want you to come over here. It's none of that. It's,
I'm mad at you.
Yeah, I'm mad at you. Don't come over. But, no matter what, we always come together. I mean, he took a hiatus, and I was here when he came back. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah, I was gone for like a year.
Yeah, he had a whole camp going. Like, can I drop names?
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Denzel came through, Nell came through, 12 and came through. It was LS came through. Who else?
MTFR,
Ja, everybody in the scene came through.
Yeah.
But it was like he was the only person engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can help him with beats, but I can't help him with engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of like overwhelmed him, choked it out, choked him out because he was dealing with his house situation, and his moving situation. Mm-hmm. And it was like, all right, whatever. We just stopped. But now we're in a better place. Now he's in a better place where we want to produce for what we want to produce for.
Yeah.
So we won't get so burnt out. With other people's stuff. Don't get me wrong, everybody can make money and do that thing, but when you become a slave to your craft, it becomes a job you don't want to do anymore.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be a slave. And you know, like, people finally do something, everybody wants to refer you, which is cool, but if you don't mess with them, what's that beneficial to your company or brand?
Exactly.
So through the whole Fatal Camp, that was like a whole trying to bring the underground through that portal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just too much. It was just way too much.
There's like so many secret albums.
In the laptop.
Like, there's like literally hundreds of songs in the laptop from like just 2 years of work. And
well, y'all gotta send me, y'all gotta have me in the studio and let me listen to these songs.
Hey, you know, if you wanna release DJ and all of this, you feel me?
Hey, listen. Listen, now, before, you know, I want to talk about your hiatus and before we go into the EP and about the whole, where y'all started from, like, how y'all started, you know, because I like asking people that, where does your inspiration of music started from when y'all was younger, because we all had that when we was young. When it comes to the music, to the mixtape game, a lot of people said that the mixtape game is kind of dwelled off because of the streaming. And I feel like it's, you can't really blame streaming. You could kind of, streaming is like, I think it helped us, you know, as mixtape. Because I consider myself a mixtape DJ. You know, when I first came in the game, I was a mixtape DJ. I just think that nowadays we don't have that excitement of exclusive music. You know, like, you remember back in the day, like, when Jay-Z dropped something.
DJ drama.
Yeah, drama and stuff like that, Lil Wayne and all them. Like, it was more of, damn, like, shit. I'm waiting for the next mixtape, you know what I'm saying? So, with the tracks and stuff that's unreleased, you know, hey, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I'm here. But, I want to start with Shoe Dino. Where did the love of music, like, start from? Like, where did it start?
Man, I think I really got into it when I joined band in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So like 11 years old, right? That's like when you go into middle school. So like,
yeah, about
that.
Nigga, 14.
That's high school, man. Yeah. I know math. That's 4 + 4 = 18. All right. I think it started. I think it started there, and because I had picked up like the trombone, and then I studied. Mm-hmm. I was in band, middle school, high school, was in symphonic band, all state, was mm-hmm. in jazz band. You know, like it's just something that like.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuck with me. And then because of that, I was in marching band. We played hip-hop. We played stuff that was on the radio, but we also played classical pieces. We also played, like, things that were, like, from the 60s and whatever. So
mm-hmm.
hearing that allowed me to also kind of explore music. And then my family, I grew up in a Hispanic family, so it's like you have a lot of Hispanic music every single morning you wake up. But my mom is Puerto Rican, so you get like the Caribbean influence. My father's Guatemalan, so I get a lot of Central American influence.
Yeah.
So that alone is already weird. And then on top of that, my father was like into like Aerosmith, and my mom was like into the Beatles and ABBA. So it's like I just heard like
everything. You heard everything.
Yeah,
across the board.
And then I have 2 older siblings, and then they were going through their hip hop phase. So then that's when I got into that. So it's just
prison of music, bro.
It's just everywhere. Everywhere I went was just something different. You know, I didn't have a choice but to like it.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Cause like you know I'm Bahamian descent, so I got the Caribbean in me. So every time I used to wake up, my mom, not just Caribbean music, but like she used to play like you know the old school Isley Brothers, mm-hmm. and then on Sundays it'd be gospel music and things and stuff like that. My grandma, she was in the choir at the church, and then like I had 2 successful uncles. My grand uncle, which was my grandma's brother, mm-hmm. he was the head drummer in the Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Nice.
And then I forgot the name of the other band, but they like old school, like long, long time ago. They was I forgot the name, but
it stopped.
It stopped.
Yeah. I'm trying to see.
Just keep it
going. Oh. Yeah, but. I forgot, but he was like a singer, whatever. I forgot what band it was, whatever. But I learned that, you know, I was meant to be in the music because of everyone that was in, you know, that was in the music. I got cousins right now that's rappers, you know, that's singers, that's up and coming.
Yeah.
So with me, 26 years old, I'm still young, but I'm kind of, you know, seeing my cousins 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, I can, you know, somehow guide them and be like, you know, make sure that you market yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, definitely. Yeah, man. So, Seldon, when you first started, you know, with music?
Well, I'm an only child. I dabbled in a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I actually started up, was causing music. I started up rapping in mm-hmm. church.
And you was rapping in church?
Yeah, it was for Black History Month. I think I remember, like, looking to my eyes and you see what I see. Black History Month is a time to believe, a time... some shit, but I was doing that in church, but I was rapping in front of a lot of Africans. So imagine me rapping, and people barely can speak English in front of the whole... they liked when they saw me on stage, but... So I was in this whole thing, like, I kept rapping over Akon beats. I didn't like hip-hop beats at the time. I kept rapping on Akon beats, I kept rapping on Usher beats, and everything like that. But now I'm like, why am I rapping on these beats? So, I stopped, I went into drawing... I went to dancing, and Mr. Davis had a class called electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about me, though, I had took every beginning class of music. I took band 1, I took electronic 1, I took chorus 1, I took keyboard 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's always been in there, but when I got to electronic 1 music, it was like I had this friend named Tokyo. She already knew about GarageBand. She came to class, she showed me her records. I'm mm-hmm. like, damn, bro, I want to do that. You know, and I picked that up, and I just started working in GarageBand, yada, yada, yada. Then I met some of my homies from Norlin, because I used to go to Norlin. I just came to Miramar. They came from Norlin, came there, and they started rapping. So I was like, okay, let me just take this more seriously. So I just started producing. Like, my mom's African to the T, and I don't like African music because of the influence from her, because it would be played, like, the same song, but in different rhythms. You know what I'm saying? So it'd be the same gospel song and like 20 different like variations. So like I kind of got tired of it, but it did influence me because I do play the conga.
Mm-hmm.
And I started listening to Pharrell, Missy, all that. Then I discovered the discography of Tribe Called Quest, Big Brother, Black Star, all that. That's my influence. Like, the boom bap era, the 2000s era, that's my influence. Like, everything other than that, I had to, like, grow into. Because being in a world, being in a state where it's, like, South-influenced music, bass-driven music, dunk, trunk, banging music, it's, like, I had to, like, grow into those 808s, those snares, those hi-hats, so. But my shit's boom-bap and the whole Pharrell 2000 era. Like, I'm influenced by the whole genre. African music, too, but I'm late to the party on that one.
You was born in England, but what part of Africa is your family
from? My family's from Nigeria. I think my mom's from the city. My dad's from the city. My mom's from not so to the city. So it's Lagos and Ikeja in Nigeria. And I actually stayed there for 3.5 years.
Because, you know, as we all say, you know, me and you both is from the Caribbean, but all the music comes from the motherlands.
Yeah.
You know, from the motherlands, you know what I'm saying? Like,
definitely.
You can still hear it now, like, even my last interview I did with Dabley, up and coming artist from Hialeah, Florida, he was like saying, like, yeah, like, all the music comes from the motherlands. Like, you know, when people think about classical music and things like that, people think music started from somewhere else, but all of that was influenced from the motherlands. You know what I'm saying? So
it's funny because a lot of jazz and a lot of blended styles was through slavery, blues, jazz, all that type of stuff, and that's from like different types of the world. Like, you have light skinned, dark skinned people, French people who came from Africa playing their own thing. Like, it's crazy because blues and everything came from the motherland through slavery. Everything else kind of developed from there.
So now we get into the EP. First of all, how was that process?
It was kind of grueling. It's about a year's worth of work. We made a ton of music, and it was, like, literally us just kind of, like, shooting darts in the dark, man, and just hoping that something sticks sometimes. And then after that year of work, we were just like, all right, we have about 6-7 songs here that
work,
like, make sense. They're cohesive with each other. It ties in. They're completed. which is a big one, because
I know it's hard to get all the artists together, like, to get the artists to come in and be like, you know.
It was pretty hard, but I appreciate everybody who actually came through and took the time and be a part of the project, because just to get artists in the studio with everybody working, everybody starving, trying to eat, it's crazy. But we appreciate the time and the effort everybody a part of this project put into this project.
Yeah.
And this shit, like, this whole entire EP was recorded inside of an office in
with this mic, like, it's crazy.
This is like there's no like special studio or anything like that. Like, even the first song, the intro, Planetary, we recorded that outside by my pool so that we could have that water running in the background.
That's crazy. It sounds like an ocean.
Yeah, it's right? a pool, son.
That's a pool. So it's like, yeah, like, that's like, try to use the most simplest elements and you know, just be as genuine as we can to ourselves with the sound and not try to make something that's not us. So, you know, it just took some time. Because even then, like, even when you're not trying to sound like anyone else, you, especially in the beginning, you could kind of do things that influence you. And you end up sounding like, you know, oh, this sounds like a Kendrick record, or this sounds like this kind of record. And it's like, we had to keep pushing ourselves until we were like, this sounds like VBX. This sounds like who we are.
Because it's just a different project. I can tell you that, like, the sound is so, what's it called? What do you call it? Supersonic? Like,
Supersonic?
Sonic, like.
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah, like, it's just, like, when I first heard it, it's just like, I mean, I know y'all don't want to be compared, but, you know, I had a little bit of, you know, like the Kanye West and a little bit of Pharrell, you know, a little bit of, like, some of these, you know, bigger producers, you know, nowadays. Cause I'm like, damn, like, it's just different. It's a different sound, you know, like it's something that you wouldn't really hear all the time from Florida.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, well, it's, you know, I can't really be surprised too, because, you know, Florida, we all have different people from different places, you know, but at the same time, it's like an EP like that, you won't hear, like, you won't hear that every day.
Yeah.
You know, like a Little Dread or a Ball Greasy, a Trick Daddy, you know, all these, you know,
variations, yeah.
All these artists from Florida, you know, applies, like, you won't hear that from them, you know what I'm saying? You'll hear, like you said earlier, you know, the AOAs, the, yeah, you know, all that stuff in the background, you know, because that's how we, you know, that's, yeah, how it is down here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was different, so. Y'all, the process was like, what, like a year, year and a half, right?
About a year.
Yeah, about a year.
So how did y'all determine the, all right, how did y'all pick the artist? Like, how was that?
It was all hit or miss, honestly.
Okay.
It's like, who was available at the time. Yeah. And, but of course we had a lot, we trashed a lot of stuff, you know, sound right. But, like, for instance, Christy is an amazing artist.
Dope. Shout out to Christy.
Yeah, Christy shout out to Christy Carter. Hey. But, yeah, Christy's a dope artist, and I love Christy. She's such a, like, a amazing performer. She has her style, her image is, like, clean, and the only person I can actually think to bring into the studio to sing a record as far as a female, it was Christy at the time. I mean, we had other people, but, you know, everybody branches off to do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she just came through with different perspective, different ways of writing music. Because, you know, a female singer is like, oh, sexy, can I? You feel me?
Yeah.
I'm a trap queen or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she came with, like, a subtle thing to the record. Like, for Moving Mountains, nobody would expect her to take that track to do, like, a uplifting gospel track.
I mean, look at her influences. Like, she was brought up in gospel and neo soul and stuff.
But you
like
see
that.
Her,
you won't
expect that.
Yeah, you won't. Yeah, like at first hand, you wouldn't expect. But then you listen to the music, you're like, damn. Like,
she talking like nothing. Yeah. Nothing on the second record. I wrote that track.
Okay.
I wrote Nothing, and she helped with the vocals and everything like that. She brought out from the side of the record that I couldn't bring out, like, singing, because I tried to sing a track to her, but she took it and flipped it in her own little way, because of course my voice is different, but. She knows how to take critique, and she knows how to, like, you know, apply it on her music. She even brought Jay Only to help her bring something else to the record, which I really appreciate. Shout out to Jay Only. She took the time out to make a record better, and she just sat there and just took our critique and just gave us what we needed, and I just love that, because a lot of artists nowadays, they feel like they already own their art. Like, it's solid. Like, you came to me for my shit. And
yeah, you got to be humble. You're still progressing.
Yeah, you know, so a lot of people can't take that. And Dino is the king of shutting down all types of ego came to the studio. Like, he's
the king.
Tell
you,
like,
I can tell you do that, bro. Like, hey, listen.
Like,
listen, man. Hey, I don't know what you do out here, but in here, it's my house. It's our house. You know, we going to help you. Help us help you.
Well, not sure. Exactly like that. But he's like, if it don't work out, you know, throw it away. Let's try.
But sometimes you gotta humble, like, some of these artists, like, you know, they very gifted.
Yeah, they are.
But, you know, as producers, I always felt like producers were, like, so underrated, so unappreciated, because all the long nights and long days, and
I tell you what though, do you know what happens though? People are willing to give money to whoever is willing to accept it.
Yeah.
A lot of people have these big studios having to pay rent, like, the all that situation. Mm-hmm. So necessarily, when you come in there talking about, oh, I'm doing 3 hours, bam, that's money in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Screw the quality, come through the door, screw what they gotta do to help you get better. It's the money.
Mm-hmm.
So when your 3 hours is up and he's trying to do the last 30-minute mix, he don't care.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't got time to tell you fix this and fix that, fix this and fix that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you're done, your time is up, you did what you gotta do, now go. So, like, a lot of artists just have that, don't have the people in the studio telling them that this doesn't work out, that doesn't work out. Because at the end of the day, that what you want? Alright, you don't like it? You want to hear back? It's cool? Alright, cool. Next line. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dino will be like, alright, well, this, try a high pitched voice. Something you're not comfortable with, try that, and maybe we can put it on top of that and see what works out. Or take this out and try something here. Like, I'll take some words out, put some words in, change the melody. That's not something that is valued as far as a price tag. Mm-hmm. So when you have these people going to these big studios, Circle House, whatever, with lights and all types of big ass boards that they don't even touch for the session.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what are they really getting from the person they work with? Nothing. But okay, you the shit. Bye. Give me money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you gotta. Like you said, like with Christy Carter, like, I could tell because she was on the few tracks on the EP. I could tell that y'all really want to, you know, groom her. Y'all really want to work with her.
Yeah.
And she not signed.
Like,
I told her, like, you know, if I had I have a marketing company, you know, Random Stuff Marketing. I just LLC'd it like last week, but... Yeah, man, long time, man.
We know the feeling, trust me.
Yeah, man, but like if I could like have like a management or a label, I would sign her because you could just tell she's a hard worker. She's like one of them, you know, artists that's like, I come here to do my work, I wanna take it seriously, and I wanna go home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like only thing I would say about her is that, you know, just continue to network. But you don't have to be, you know, for any artist, you know, or producer, or DJ, you know, you don't have to be always going to the club and things like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, go to different, you know, events, you know, like different, like, pop-ups and stuff like that. And just, like, last week, shout out to my boy Hayes. His album actually came up. It's called Random Rebel. It's out right now on iTunes. But I went to his listening party last week, and you had all these artists, you had these producers, you had these promoters, you had like people from like clothing lines and stuff like that. You network.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's how you get far in any industry, whether it's music, business, you know, sports, teaching, nursing, whatever you do, you still got to network because you're still progressing and. You know, it really is serious. You really have to humble them, these artists and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's like she was saying, it's always great to work with someone who could take feedback or who's willing to go down a road with you sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like with Moving Mountains, that's a song that she wrote to a whole nother beat, to something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And she had played it for me one day, and I was like, send me the acapella because I don't like the beat.
Okay.
And so she sent me the acapella, and I just built that whole entire beat around it with Seldom. And that's how we ended up getting to Moving Mountains. And then she came through and she finished up the second verse, because she only had one verse at first. And then I had brought King Ratty K from Posse for Mafia. Yeah. He has a couple of songs out on iTunes.
I got to send me all. Like I told her, like, I told her, just send me all these people.
Yeah.
Y'all do the same thing. Y'all listen to them and have them on the show.
Yeah, most definitely, yeah. And I brought him in, and we was having just a late night session. He was literally like half asleep when he did all those ad-libs on there. And it was like the very last, he was losing his voice because he was like recording for hours with me. And it was like, I was like, look, man, I need this. I need you to do this. Just say, everyone's blessed. And he was like, all right. And then he just like went in. And it's like that last take is what we ended up using for the chorus and how we pulled that whole song together. So like the fact that, you know, all of the artists that were on there were willing to be like, hear me say, that doesn't work. Let's not use that. And let's try something different and use this. And they were willing to go that way. I think ended up making a lot of the songs.
So you're pretty much on the engineering side.
I do production and engineering.
So how as an engineer, because you probably the first engineer on the show. Because I always wanted to ask an engineer, because same thing with producing. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of patience.
I don't have.
Because when I see engineers, like, they be canceling this, they be... You know, like editing this and this and that. Like, what is the process of that? Like,
So if it's just the mixing part of it, right? Because we're not even talking about like recording someone. We're not talking about anything else. If it's just the mixing part of it.
Yeah, when it's all done and stuff.
It's like taking everything that they have there, right?
Mm-hmm.
and like if someone was to draw a picture or something, right? And you had like mm-hmm. a kid who colored in like a thing. And be like, all right, cool. Well, the kid went out of the lines here, and he went out of the lines here, and he went out of the lines. Okay, so I need to take his initial coloring,
mm-hmm.
cut out all the parts where he went out of the lines, clean up the color, make sure there's no, like, little bits of white where he's mm-hmm. missing, fill that in, make sure that by the time that it's finished, it ends up looking like this beautiful, vibrant painting. Like, you know, like you have, like, this behind you.
Yeah.
Right? But if a kid was to draw it in, it'd just be green all over the place, and the sky would be blue as well as the sand. You know what I mean? So it's like me going in and refining those pieces. That that's maybe a little bit out of place,
mm-hmm.
and that could be done through like changing frequencies or changing dynamic range, and of course like reverbs, echoes, things mm-hmm. like that to help fill in space, and then of course playing around with like panning. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think there's a lot of engineers that allow like you to really play with the whole yeah. space. Yeah. You know, they don't play with the whole space. So like I yeah. try to do that, just to make it sound like there's a lot more happening than there actually is.
So for an up-and-coming engineer and producer, I want to hear from you first. What advice would you tell a young 16 to 18-year-old engineer producer to continue to work on their craft? Because I know when I was younger, I wanted to be a producer, but I wasn't patient for that. I'm like, I'm just going to stick to DJing, you know what I'm saying? Like, how... What advice would you tell them to encourage them?
Patience is a huge thing mm-hmm. overall. I think when it comes to this industry, period, you have to realize that instant gratification in music is not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is no such thing as you do something and it comes out banging right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you have to understand that you need to have that patience. You need to have the diligence, the perseverance to continue on. And know your value. A lot of people, like she was saying, like, you know, they see it for the paycheck. And so a lot of times you have artists that just see you as like someone that they could just use and bring on. And a lot mm-hmm. of times you hear as like a producer, as an engineer, like, oh yeah, you're going to be my engineer. And when we get on and da, da, da. And yeah, it's like, why are you making plans for me? Like, why are you trying to plan out my future? Yeah, like who said I wanted to do that? Where was the contract that I signed that said I was going to yeah. be stuck with you for the rest of your career?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nah, chill. Like, I'll help you out with this project,
yeah.
but like you as an engineer need to understand your value and understand that you have the things that you want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So don't let those other people get in the way of that. You mm-hmm. know, keep going with what you want to do.
That's what's up, man, because they need to hear that, man. Like, it's just, when I was young, I had all these artists and stuff. So I said, man, I'm you my DJ and stuff. I believe, and to this day, I still work with them, but I don't know, like, I'm just the type of person where I don't want to be too, I'm loyal, but I don't want to be too locked in mm-hmm. on certain people. I still want to, you know, grow and work with different people. As a producer now, you know, what advice would you tell a 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old, you know, how to...
I say, those tutorial videos that you watch mm-hmm. online, don't mimic them. Just go for the mixing tips. Mm-hmm. Don't mimic the patterns and stuff. Because I feel like a lot of people they feel like once you start producing or behind the scenes, you have to mm-hmm. sacrifice and compromise who you are for the artist so you can get mm-hmm. to what you need to get. Like, in the beginning of this journey of me producing,
mm-hmm.
I've done music for people who accepted me for my sound, and I try to appeal to people who don't really necessarily know what I can do, but they know I can make music.
Mm-hmm.
And I always advise that person that you should go for the people who accept you for your sound.
Mm-hmm.
Because you try to appeal to those people, you're going to feel disappointed, and you're going to feel doubt. You're going to feel fear. You're going to feel like nobody fucks with you. You're going to feel like nobody cares for your sound, and you're going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I don't know who doesn't like me on Twitter, who has me muted, but I always go in about trap music. I always go in about the wave. I always go in about the shift of the music mm-hmm. period. I'm a spiritual person.
Okay.
So I understand, like, if I see certain sounds or hear certain sounds, see certain symbols or hear certain symbols, I am not going to go to that music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But at this, you know, being in Florida, being in a diverse religious area, mm-hmm. you got Santeria, you got Ifa, you got What else?
Catholicism.
Catholicism. You got all Judaism. These Muslims. You got everybody is spiritually guided in some type of direction. But there's a new wave coming out, you feel me? Where it's like, okay, I got my chakras on point. Yeah. I want positivity around me. Yeah. But then you see the person and attitude and everything like that. It's so different. Like, the way they carry themselves.
Yeah.
They may look a certain part, but the way they carry themselves is something different. Mm-hmm. So, why I bring this up is that don't try to follow a wave. Don't try to follow the tribe. Don't try to follow the stone crystal era. If you're not with it, you're not with it. If you are on this type of vibe, you want to produce, like, some nigga in England that ain't got no followers, but you feel like that's your sound.
Yeah.
That's your sound.
Cause you'll be surprised, man. Like, you know, I eventually want one day to go up to Canada and work with artists like up there.
Oh yeah,
them boys like they got so much like it's so much diversity up there.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like the sound is different, but yet you can hear some artists and they sound like they from down south. You know, some from the East Coast, from the West Coast.
Canada is such a diverse.
Cause they study, you know, they study us, you know, cause you know. Can't be cocky.
Nah.
But, you know, our music is very diverse.
Yeah.
Our music is very diverse. So, y'all have, what, this is the only EP y'all have out right now?
Yeah.
So, when's the next project?
Next project we're working on, I'm working on a Sodom project, Admission 2. Admission 1 was like a techno. I love techno. I'm English.
Okay.
I love doof, not the hardcore.
So you have another project out, like yourself?
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a SoundCloud out. I have like beats on there.
Okay.
I'm solely a producer on my own solo tip. It's only when I'm with him that I link up to be an artist or vocal artist and stuff like that. So... this Admission 2 is going to be just another house influence. Mm-hmm. It's kind of probably have some type of Soul Selection vibe in there, like Sangle, Mr. Carmack. I don't know if you know that. That's how it influences. I've been studying the music, so I'm trying to influence that in my sound. But it's going to be that with vocals on it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to cater to Seldom and also cater to VVX coming out with a summer project as well. But they have to make a sound where it's like we can do this and we can do this.
Yeah. So the project y'all have a project come out in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the summer? Cause I'm waiting for that.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm
doing. we're actually currently working on it. Okay. We have right now about three in the bag.
Three in the bag.
Yeah. And
shout out to Tokyo.
Yeah. Well, oh, no, wait. Four in the bag. We have about four in the bag.
Yeah.
We probably want to get another, like, three lined up. And, you know, obviously, like, when it comes to songs, that could be about five songs and then, like, an intro, outro thing. But probably want to get about three lined up more before we get it out. But I would really love if we could do it towards the end of May.
In the May, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. That's like Memorial Day weekend.
Exactly. And all that stuff. Yeah, and I definitely want us to try to drop a single soon.
We're dropping singles, man.
Who, what? I don't know if y'all can name the artist.
Tokyo
Extraordinaire.
We're planning on some other features. Like I said, you reach out to these artists, and it's up to them. But right now, we have Woken and Tokyo right now. And them two right there know how to ride a beat.
Wait, Tokyo who?
Tokyo Extraordinaire. She's in Tallahassee. She's actually doing that made me make music in Mr. Davis class in high school. And
she has music out?
She has music up, yeah. Tokyo X.
Tokyo X.
Extraordinaire. I'm
gonna say I don't wanna be confused because you know it's Tokyo Jet from Jacksonville.
Oh, nah, it's Tokyo.
Cause she's dope. She's very dope, but I want to listen to her, too.
Yeah, she engineers, she produces, she does all her stuff. Like, everything you hear vocally, sonically, that she's on, she does her stuff.
Is Christy on this project or no?
I don't know. It depends. It depends, like, what she feels. Like, Christy is more so, like, she cares about her craft.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can't influence her to do like a little summer friendly record, we can. But
I don't know. I think it's also just sonically, it's a little bit different than the first EP.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has a little bit of a darker tone to it
mm-hmm.
compared to the first one. The first one's definitely a little bit more positivity. And I feel like she definitely represents that very well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she would necessarily fit sonically with where some of the tracks are right now. And not that it's going to be like this, like sad kind of like depressive kind of thing or angry kind of thing. It's not like that. It's just, it just has a darker tone in general. I don't know if she would necessarily fit in there right now sonically. But it is something that we're still working on, so we don't know exactly where it's going to end. It's just at the moment where we are on the road is just like, don't know if she's going to be there.
Yeah, we don't know.
Okay, because before we get in this other segment that I like to do, I don't want y'all to push our prices out there, no. But are y'all prices like fair? Like, for me as a DJ, because I want to before the podcast started, I want to, you know, come up with a project. DJ Khaled, DJ Drama, how they did it and stuff like that. Like, I want to come up with an album where I put artists together and things like that. Like, do y'all charge like crazy?
I'm going to let him talk.
As far as like...
How's the process, like...
Well, this is the thing. Like, right now, where we are musically is we tend to make more of any money that we're going to be doing on royalties, right?
Okay.
So anything that's kind of in the back end. But at the moment, we haven't really been charging the artists that we have chosen to work with. Because in that aspect, it's more about, again, we're making music that we want to create, and we're going into a sound that we
want
to make.
And
we are even having a lot of the creative control on the music that they're going to be releasing for themselves. So it's like, we want to have something that we're going to be able to have a hand in. And as long as we can have a hand in, then it's something that we could possibly have a mutual understanding of, like, where right now money isn't our focus.
I mean, would like to donate, take donations. You know what I'm saying? But money, as far as bringing to the table, and this is if I don't like you, I don't like you. I'm not gonna work with you. I don't care how much money you offer to the table.
And that's another thing y'all should, you know, talk about, you know, the producers, like these up-and-coming producers.
Yo.
Like, money ain't really nothing like that. I be telling the DJs that too, like the younger DJs, like, the money gonna come. I think my first time I actually, like, had real money come from a mixtape was probably just 3 years ago, you know, with the new era mixtape and stuff, where it was like $10 a slot.
Oh, okay.
And me and the artist, Valona Denise, were, you know, she gonna come down. It's cheap, but, like, you know, we ain't want to break nobody off, you feel me? But, you know, I always felt that as your brand grow, then, yeah, the money gonna come and stuff like that. Still be humble, but I ain't gonna lie. Let's say the Target or something wanted to sponsor you. That's a different level.
Target
that bag.
I'll be a little John.
You got so you wanna direct deposit?
You want a Kesha remix? I got you, player.
Real shit. Hey, Target, I'm looking for, and Starbucks too. I'm looking for that sponsorship for the podcast.
You know, Adidas. It's all good.
Adidas
sponsor, you know what I'm saying? All day I dream about sounds, you know what I'm saying? But, but what I want to talk about is this. A lot of people say, oh, y'all niggas don't work with me unless y'all pay me. Oh, y'all niggas don't work with me unless y'all come with the bag. But if everybody come with the bag, what you gonna do?
Exactly.
What you gonna do? If you have no more creative juices, you have no more creative output, you have no more nothing, what do you become? Become a slave to your own personal craft. And that is not what you made that craft to be. I remember I had a conversation with Forbes back in the day, the videographer. And I told him, like, the same thing, bro. I don't want to be slave to my craft. I don't want to work with nobody I don't want to work with. And being a spiritual person and certain entities you're not supposed to work with, some people you're supposed to work with.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be slave to anything. I don't want to be forced to do nothing. Like, like, I did a photo shoot the other day for a female, and, like, every day it was like, when are you going to have my pictures ready? When are you going to have my pictures? And it's only a week ago. And she sent me 63 pictures to edit. You know what I'm saying? And she didn't pay me, which is, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, people will make you stress about something they need at their time.
Yeah.
And then they will want more. You feel me? And then you gotta make it seem like you, if you're too early, oh yeah, nigga, you my nigga, I'm gonna come to you every day. You come too late, oh nah, it's bad things. Come right in the middle, you're still in the same paradigm. You feel me? You seem the same realm. So it's like, bro, I advise anybody, you can up the price, whatever, to limit your customers, but don't reduce your price to where everybody's accessible. You become a slave to that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If we totally had a price for, if we were like a price for the company, I would charge $500 for a beat. 500. Because at the end of the day, he has to mix. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we have to think about what's on the beat. At the end of the day, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. But if we like you, what is it, 100-something?
Yeah.
100 a beat. But that's because, like, we like you, but we don't really like you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if we come to you for a VVS project, we not charging you. But if you're coming from your project, you're not going to drop some type of money. Because at the end of the day, we can take it away from what our company needs, what we need, what, as a person to take care of you. You know what I'm saying? But don't, after that, don't keep coming back. I'm not saying don't keep coming back, but don't don't act like we your company. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we appreciate your business, but we have our own stuff to do. Am I misspeaking here? You feel me? We don't want to be putting a ball in the box. And you want, like I said, if you're a person that need money, up the fuck up your prices. Up your price. To limit the shit in this industry, because people will try you.
Yeah.
I'm a female. I gotten tried so many times.
And that's why I want to thank you for that, Briz. Because I want to talk about that, too, because... as a female producer, because I've talked to a female DJ named DJ Luna.
Yeah.
How is that? Like, do men get, like, do they feel some type of way because...
What men try to do is that, a lot of, in talking to women, a lot of women don't know their value opposed outside their craft.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? At one point, I did not know my value. I was Dina. Like, I would be everywhere. I go there, I go there. I had no car, but I would get there. I'm skateboarding to this bitch. I'm busting into this bitch. And at the end of the day, a man would be a man. Not say a man would be a man. I'm a man of the same. I've learned that. But I'm saying, like, a man will try to work his best way, avenue to get into your good side to use you as a female. And as a female... We have such a loving heart. We have such an understanding. That, oh, no. He just needs this. He needs my help. I'm ready to help him.
Yeah.
Please don't do that. Like, I just started getting out of that. And even my partner was like, yo, bro, you can't do that. You can't be nice. You can't. Even him like, bro, if you're not getting something out of it, don't spend your time into it. Because me, if somebody come with me or with a project, I'm telling them, oh, so you want this? All right, so put this there. I got you two more. You ready? And then you do all that work for them. They're not even doing half the shit you're doing.
Exactly.
And as a woman, you know, you're a carer, you're a nurturer. You take that role, but I got this. I'm going to take care of it. You ain't got to worry about shit. It's handling the man part of it, the muscle part of it. I take care of the non-physical part. And pause. But it's like, you just got to understand that as a woman, don't let no man overtalk you. Don't let no man overpower you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let men in a situation, in a studio when it's full of men, act like what you did give them your idea is not worthy of what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they be saying, like, if you give them the idea, they can't swallow and ingest it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I get mad when people be like, oh, what you talking about? You don't know nothing? I get mad. But that's I'm not supposed to get mad. I'm supposed to show them what I can do, what I'm talking about. You feel me? Because when you go to a studio full of men or whatever, full of people, and they underrate you, underestimate you, your work speaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was in the studio with Boy Wonder and T-Minus. Whoa. That is Drake's producer. Even though I had to, I had somebody sponsor me to get there, that was Drake's producer. At the end of the day, they looked at the person I was with like he was stupid because he was, like, down and I was up.
Yeah.
Because he's like, yo, I played my shit for them, and they was like, yo, what the fuck? But who's that guy you with?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some people, some men around you can, like, destroy your blessings because they have the manpower, the muscle, and the money. But if you as a female come and present yourself with the work and ethic and the talent, whatever, that man don't matter. They're going to look at you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I messed up, I put a contact in the Buddy phone, and Buddy, you need... Give him the context of Boy Wonder and T-Minus. And that's where a woman lacks up, because you feel like the person that is carrying you, like, you feel me, is responsible for everything. They're supposed to come through for you. They don't come through for you. They can't even walk away. Like, I had somebody walk away with almost 100-something beats for me. Because they said that if you... Because I had a problem where he did business. I went to Orlando, and he dumped 50 beats in some random dude's hard drive. And act like I can't give no beats out to people down here in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But we go to Orlando, you dumping beats in this man's hard drive that I produce.
Yeah.
But oh, you arrange. See, production arrangements are totally different. Mm. You produce the sounds, he arranges and stretches it out. That's totally different things. But at the same time, it's you also give him that power. Mm. So as at the end of the day, women, please, if you're going to be an artist, if you're going to be a rapper, you're going to be a producer, make sure you know your worth and make sure you know how to voice your opinion without coming off as the bitch in your room.
Yeah.
Because I'm considered the bitch in so many rooms because I don't follow. But learning from that experiences, you always have to be like, okay, assert yourself in a different way, in a different manner. Because I don't take shit. I do know how many times I've checked. Listen, everybody, listen.
When your birthday?
December 20th.
Okay, so you Sagittarius, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. But borderline, because I'm a Capricorn, so you got some of that Capricorn in you a little
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I don't take that either. I don't like
Yo, I dealt with Capricorn females and then Capricorn men. Yo. But anyway, y'all don't take shit from no shit. Like, at least we can bear, like, minimum. But y'all don't take no minimum. Like, it is what it is. But like I said, man, woman, please, man. Please. And yo, this positivity. Don't bring no negative space thing y'all got going on that makes negative happen.
Yeah.
Please drop it. Because with positive comes negative. We have to balance the two. Ain't no coming at me with no negativity and having and be positive 100%. Mm-hmm. Women, please. We are speakers, but we're not necessary. If you don't have the essential to lead, don't carry yourself as a leader. Because a lot of women out here leading people because they're women and they can disguise and research and tell you the truth. Research and tell, but don't feel it. You know what I'm saying? But please, women, be true, know your worth, and stand strong on what you do. And don't get lost in the sauce because a man has a penis and money. Please.
That's some real shit. That's some gems right there. That's some gems right there.
I have nothing to follow that.
Now, let's go into a subject that I love talking about.
Like, yo, I buy this.
Let's go into a segment where I love to talk with DJs and artists and producers. But since y'all producers, I want to start off with a top five producers of all time. Poof. And y'all list, separate list. I know it changes every day now.
It don't change for me.
So who want to go first? Dino's?
Dino, I want to hear his list because he's Picasso.
Oh, my God.
Some names I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I mean, the thing is that's hard for me is, like, I don't know if I can have, like, a top five.
You want to do top 10?
No, I'll just give you some people that I think are, like, I find, like, amazing.
Okay, right? That's fun. Okay.
So I think Kanye is absolutely fantastic. I think Pharrell, Timbaland, Quincy Jones, I think is, I mean, one of the greatest producers ever. Mm-hmm. And I think, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he produced Green Day, My Chemical Romance, I'd say those are the ones that I tend to look at the most. And then I look at, like, we look at musicians in a different way, right? So I look at, like, bands a lot. Because with bands, you're talking about five people together putting their one mind into something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I look at someone like Queen, who is able to do what they've done with their records and bring in as many elements as they were able to bring in. That's the stuff that I get most inspired by. And they aren't looked at as producers as much as, like, musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, a Killswitch Engage, Queen, Led Zeppelin, you know, all that. I try to listen to everything as I possibly can. And I don't want to limit myself. Even if it's something that I don't necessarily like, I try to find something in it that I do. And everything can be an influence in some way. So, like, I just try not to limit myself in any way.
That's what's up, man. That's interesting. That's what's up, man. Now you said
All right, let's go. I'm influenced by Selection, the whole, like, Selection movement.
Yeah.
Because they influence half our sound right now. Believe it or not, the Afrobeats thing and everything like that came from, like, the underground Selection thing.
Uh-huh.
So it's like Estes, Sango, Carmack, all them boys. Like, I love them. Timbo, Pharrell. Like, if I name, like, a group of people, they're one person. So my top five is, like, five and one. So, Timbaland and Pharrell, they're the one person to me because I feel like they influence each other no matter what. It was Missy with Pharrell.
But in y'all production, I can hear Timbaland and Pharrell in the like heavily.
Yeah, percussion though. It's because our percussion is like different. You feel me? Sounds would be sounds, but when you carry your percussion, he tells you how to do that. But like Knife Wander, that's my guy. I love his music.
Knife Wander.
That's the dude that does Rap City stuff.
Yeah. He's from Carolina. Yeah.
Chuck English. That nigga. Like, he put me on a machine on the phone. Like, that's when I started making beats on the phone because of Chuck English. Who else? And FKJ. Yeah. FKJ Masego.
Fresh Kiwi Juice.
Yeah.
That boy go in.
And like I've been trying to like limit my whole do production and be like bring like chord it out because of those people, like, cause Selection and Masego and FKJ, they just make me want like saxophone instrument, pick up something
and just start playing.
And just start playing, like, cause in trap you are you feel me? So it's like you gotta expand your sounds, and they helped me expand my sound in that case. So.
Nah, top artists.
None.
You have none.
No.
Serious? Like even from like. I'm talking about overall.
John Williams.
Okay.
Again, Quincy Jones. You ain't got to know who that is. It's okay, boo-boo. again, Quincy Jones. I think Tupac.
Tupac, okay.
I'm heavily influenced by Tupac.
I just found out the other day that my mom listened to Tupac.
What?
Your mom's a genius.
She's the GOAT.
Yeah.
She tried to keep that side away from you, though.
Nah, but when I think about it, though, like, my mom, it's crazy because, like, you know, our parents grew up in a time where, you know, you had the Cannon Plays and the Rakims.
Yeah.
And like, the whole, all them artists was, like, in the era. Like, it's just crazy, like, damn, like, it really wasn't that long ago that they was in the era, you know, listening to, like, the from the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. Like, they call it the golden era.
Yeah.
For us, you know, well, for me particularly, the 2000s is like my...
That is the golden
era. It's my golden era because of... It was a bridge between them eras. And I don't know, it just showed the future before, like, for example, we have social media now.
Yeah.
You know, we have all this technology and things like that. You know, you go back and listen to like a Nas, a Jay-Z, a Scarface, you know, even Tupac, you know, even though he was like 90s and stuff, 80s, 90s and stuff like that. But he had music coming out, you know, in the 2000s because of, you know, pre-recorded whatever. But Dr. Dre's, like the Timberlands, the Pharrells, the Missy Elliott's, like they was beyond the years. You know what I'm saying? They was beyond like that time. They was like, their music could be played, still be played, like if it's brand new right now because of the sounds, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that Super Bowl performance got new fans.
Yeah, like,
so many new fans.
It was an album or a song that was like number one right after the Super Bowl. Like, it's crazy.
An old song. It's crazy.
And I look at like Bruno Mars, you know, I feel like he's, you know, beyond his time, and I feel like when the 2020s and the 2030s come, like, I'm like, I heard this back in the early, mid-2000s.
Bruno Mars did, though. He's smart. Bruno Mars was a songwriter in the game before that Suicide song.
With Sean Kingston.
Not Suicide, or not that one. The one where he's, like, working on it, you're talking about, I Carry a Grenade for Your Heart or something.
Oh, yeah.
He's been, before that, he's been writing songs in the game, so he's always been studying and everything like that. But then with Bruno Mars, is though, he likes recreating a feeling and playing off of it. He's, like, studying, like, for instance, You Got Me Dripped in Finesse.
Yeah, Cardi B.
It don't make no sense. Yeah. But if you listen to Poison, he studies. Like, he doesn't create new.
Yeah, it's a new Jack Swing.
You feel me? And he studies that, and then I wish he would create new. You know what I'm saying? You could like flip that whole era and make it into his own rather than just mimicking. That's the only thing I have. Because I can hear the melody he uses now, and I can match it back. I can match it to so many records back in the day.
But it's just like how he do it. It's just like,
it's modern.
It's modern. Like it's like, he one of the few people that could do it. And, I mean, I know he has some lawsuits. Huh? But to me, I feel like he still got away with that. You know what I'm saying?
He bodied it, yeah.
I feel like he's our modern-day James Brown.
I would say he's more like our modern-day Michael.
Jackson?
Like, yeah, because, you know, this is someone who's, like, writing the music. And he's out there and he's performing, like he's dancing. I feel like he's
a karaoke singer.
You know, like, I think that he's incredibly talented. He has a great voice.
I just think he should make a new style. Like, he writes music for people. Why can't he just...
Well, that's the thing, though, right? Mm-hmm. If you started off as a writer for someone else, did you really ever have your own sound? Because you're always writing for someone else to work for whatever it is that they do.
Oh, so you got to embody that person into them.
Right,
to give.
So, like, if that is who you are, you're a writer for someone else, then the music that you're going to release for yourself is going to be influenced by others. So I feel like his music is always going to have that sound. It's always going to have the sound of someone else because he writes for other people.
Right.
So, okay, VVX is in the studio. Bruno Mars said, I want to come in and work with her.
What you want?
Now, from, you know, early in the podcast, you know, I have an idea, you know, of how y'all get down in the studio, no matter what artist it is. Now, Bruno Mars the GOAT, you know. So, as a producer, he's looking for that dominance. Like, I want these producers to critique me. So how would you critique Bruno Mars? Like you said, like you want him to come out with something
new.
Mm-hmm. So how would you go away with that? Like, what's the process?
I know, like, for me personally, and this is like the same process we have with kind of any artist. I usually bring them in, and like the first day, we don't really work on music. We just kind of talk.
Talk, okay.
Yeah, so I could kind of get to know who they are. And I can understand, like, the little things that make them who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, usually that would be, like, my first day would just be, like, you know, like, what is it that he's trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. Where are you trying to go? Where are you trying to, like, what are you trying to do? Right? Because as a producer, though, at the same time, when you think about it as, an industry, your job is to help this person paint a picture.
Yeah.
Right? Your job isn't to paint your own picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so if he's coming to me and he's saying that he wants to do something, my job is to figure out what it is that he wants to paint, mm-hmm. and then give him everything that I can,
mm-hmm.
so he can paint it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'll do that. But if I want to be able to push his sound, and again, this happens with every other person that we work with, I usually end up giving them like a skeleton version of the beat. Okay. It's a very simple version, and so like they write to that, they do whatever they do to that, and then they come back to me with that, and I go, okay, cool, I like this idea or this thing that they're trying to create. Let me rearrange this. I'll redo the beat all over again underneath their voice so it best fits whatever that we're trying to accomplish, change whatever tones I need to change,
mm-hmm.
and then build from there and go, okay, look, all right, so what you said here, I think you can say this instead, it will sound better. Or what you did here, let's remove this and rewrite your third verse because it sucks. And, you know, and then...
ASAP verse.
Yeah, like legit, rewrite this verse. It's shit.
you gotta be real.
Right? And then it's like, and then they come back, and then that's when you end up having shit. I feel like that's when you can really make something different. A lot of people don't look at... I try to give analogies to people, right, when it comes to creating music.
Mm-hmm.
When you was in school and they would give you a topic to write an essay,
yeah,
they always told you, one, make a web, right, mm-hmm. a brainstorm chart, whatever you wanted to call it, right, where you had a list of all the things that you actually wanted to talk about, right? And then what you had to do? You had to go back and you had mm-hmm. to edit your brain chart. And then after you edit your brain chart, then you would write your first rough draft. And after you write your rough
draft, you go back and
you rewrite your rough draft.
I don't think they do that nowadays with these kids. Because we had, you remember back in the day, we had to do the circle, the web, your topic web, and all that shit, right?
But think about it. By the time you got to the essay that you actually turned in, that's like the fourth or fifth version of that essay. And then even then, your teacher would go back, rewrite all this shit and be like, all right, redo this, remove this. This doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And you had to go back and rewrite it. And then you finally turned it in. Mm-hmm. And by that time, your teacher was like, okay, now this is a paper.
Yeah.
This can now be something that could be put out there and critiqued. You know what I mean? That's what I try to do with the music. I want us to, let's work on something. Okay, this is a great rough draft. Don't like any of this. Don't like any of this. I like this. And let's keep building on this. And then we keep going until we finally get to that sixth, seventh version that we're like, now this is a song.
music ain't easy, man.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Especially when you come from a production side of things. You're starting from literally ground zero.
There's nothing there.
So when people come additional, people understand artists already come in like 85% of the way there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you got to figure out the sound, you got to figure out the direction, figure out what tone, how is this beat going to carry at this part. Mm. And even when they come in, that's only like 95% done. Yeah. After that 5%, it's also going back to rework the beat, mixing, man. It's not easy. But it's a job where when you get it done, it's rewarding.
Yeah.
That's the amazing part of it. Because literally, you started from literally nothing, like a pebble on the floor, and you built a house.
Wow, so since, start off with you, since you already have a top five, a top nothing, this for both of y'all. Name a few artists that y'all would love to work with one day. I know y'all gonna work with a lot of artists, but just that bucket list, that dream list, that fantasy. Like, I play fantasy football, so you know we have all the players and stuff like that we pick and choose, like the draft. Y'all both gave me like a list, a bucket list. You don't have to be too short, too long. Just a list of artists that you would love to work with in the future.
I'm gonna start local. Enikio. Mm-hmm. I don't work with that nigga so bad, but
Enikio?
Yeah.
I actually got a shout out to Enikio, man. He supposed to be on the show. I got a mixtape with him a long, long time ago.
What?
Way back, I think in 2009.
That's funny.
Cause Enikio is one of them artists that's like, you know, you got the underground, you got the indie, you got the mainstream. Enikio,
just not trying to fit anything.
I don't want him to be underground. I want him to be like that mainstream underground, meaning like,
but you know what,
like Currency. Currency is mainstream, but he still,
you know what took for Currency to make it? It took Currency to go through Wayne's cap.
Yeah.
It took Currency to go through all that just to be back at another label.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But with Enikio, he's not trying to feed the wave. He's not trying to be a part of the wave.
Being himself, yeah.
Enikio, like, if you hear it, that man been through a lot. He's trying to make influence, impact in the music.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to work with Enikio. If somebody has that much passion behind their music, to how much drive behind their music, to how much pain behind their music, that's why I want to work with him. I saw Enikio perform a freestyle on the sidewalk when I was performing with Starve Marv, LS, Ron Don, part of Free Dystopia right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I started off on the side with that nigga, and I saw him perform. It was like, you can hear his vocals without the mic.
Yeah.
And people was like, and the way he performed his track, it would be all body, full body movements, not just like on the mic type of thing. So, like, I want to work with Enikio. I want to work with, who else would I want to work down here? I like local talent. If I can get back with 12, I don't want to go 12, but anyway. as far as outside local, it's definitely FKJ, Masego, Sampha, Daniel Caesar. I like you, Black Youngster.
Yeah, Black Youngster.
I don't know what it is about that, man.
All them Memphis, like, Moneybag, yo, I love
it. Bro, it's like, so fun to listen to. Yeah. Like, it's like the twang. They use their vocals. Like, I want Black Youngster on the record, which is kind of weird because I don't like trap music. But, who else would I want to? Daniel Caesar, Sampha, FKJ, Masego, Little Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Little Dragon. Oh, my gosh, her vocals.
Yeah.
No, I mean the whole band, the whole dude that behind the sound production and everything, but her vocals, and Little Sims. That's it. I leave it there. Little Sims. She's a Nigerian British rapper, who's known for just spitting like just no. And she's working on Gorillaz right now.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like I want to work with Little Sims.
Well, y'all, like I said, after this show in, send me all these people. I'm a DJ, and then whenever y'all have time, let me hear them unreleased tracks. You know what I'm saying? But what about you, Dino? Like, what's your list? Who's your, who on your list?
I would love to work with Kanye at some point. I think on a local level, so there's like a little story. When we work with Twelvin, like the first time we worked with Twelvin, he had came through to my house. That was when I was living in Miramar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he came through my house. He arrived at my house at 12 p.m.
Yeah.
He stayed until 12 a.m.
Damn.
He was there for 12 hours. We had Twelvin come in at 12, leave at 12, stay for 12.
So that's probably his...
right? We end up creating 5 whole songs from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And almost finishing them all within that 12 hours. Like, the kid just goes into the booth, starts mumbling, mm-hmm. and then three recordings later, he has a whole fucking song. Like, the kid is just insanely talented. Yeah.
He just spends time and buries himself in a record when he needs to write to it.
Like,
it's just amazing seeing him work. And ever since then, I'm like, yo, I gotta work with this nigga again.
Yeah, but he is definitely one. But then, obviously, I would love to work with, like, Bon Iver. I think that would be a really dope thing. James Blake.
James Blake, dude.
Yeah, I'd love to work with James Blake, Kendrick. And then eventually I want to do like composition of film. That's kind of like my ultimate dream is, so I would love to work with Hans Zimmer.
He actually freaking went to school for photography, too.
Yeah, she's just putting out my whole history out there.
But
yeah.
Hey, listen.
He don't say shit. He don't say that important shit. Listen. He want to know you, man.
Listen, I don't want to say too much, but... you know, doing this podcast, you know, it's probably a handful of people, and y'all one of them people that I really want to have a, like, you remember Sucker Free Sunday when they had, like, the round table
for,
like,
hip-hop? Oh, yeah.
I want to do something like that and, like, really put it, like, on, like, a Netflix or a Hulu or something like that. Honestly, I may want to do it on Hulu because that'd be probably one of the first. You know what I'm saying? But Netflix, you know, I'm here, but. but like, honestly, like, I think we need that now. Like, we need a round table.
Especially for the underground.
Yeah, like, for the underground. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do it because everyone got their own personal list. And I think I may do something like that. Then we put it in the middle. I don't know, maybe make it like a top 20 or something. I don't know. It's going to be very hard because I think...
I mean, everybody's kind of doing something different. Like, Everyday Struggle got the little rundown type of thing.
Yeah.
Joe Budden got his own type of thing, too. I mean, a lot of people got a lot of things. So, if you want to do top 20, make sure you have a lot of space for, like, comments.
I want it to be, like, something that's, you know, not like a whole, like, documentary. Like, it go by episodes.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, it's me. Next time we...
talk about this
and that, like, it's something I've been, you know, really been thinking about doing lately. It's just,
it was on your mind, it hasn't left yet. Mm-hmm. You should do it. It was on your mind and it's still there, you should do it.
Yeah, because I bought a whiteboard. I need a whiteboard. I told my fiance, let me get that whiteboard because I want to write down what I want.
Oh, so you're gonna make a web, a brainstorm chart.
Yeah,
that's what we're saying.
Yeah,
and then you're gonna go back, you're gonna edit that brainstorm chart. Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, because like, even with DJ EFN, shout out to him and the whole drink council in Noriega, when he told me about how he made his project, which is a dope project, like, he told me he actually lists the artists, like, track by track, who he wanted on the track. And I'm like, you could do that not just even with music, but like with anything that you got going on. Like, I have the marketing company, then I want to do like a special, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so much stuff, you know, you have to still write it down. You get what I'm saying? So,
most def.
So, yeah, man. But, it's something that I always tell, not just any artist, you know, anybody. I think I told Christy. I think I did, but, you know, after hearing y'all EP, you know, I can say that, you know, y'all really gonna be successful.
Amen. Thank
you,
man.
Like, y'all gonna win Grammys. Y'all gonna win all these, you know, awards.
Yeah, keep putting it out in the universe.
No, feel like it's gonna happen because, you know, I don't think everyone's gonna get it. Everybody will get it, but I feel like with y'all two, and a few other people that I've told, like, it's going to come, it's coming real soon. Because I'm a spiritual person as well.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's just, it's going to happen. You know, just keep doing what y'all doing. Don't forget about me. That's one thing I would say, you know, hey.
We gave you a gift, y'all. We ain't forget about you.
Hey, man, listen, I want to be there, like, honestly. Like, I want to see that. Because another question I wanted to ask y'all, too, was, do y'all cry every time y'all finish a project? But especially this EP that y'all did, did y'all cry or, like, feel, like, excited about it when y'all...
With me, man. If I feel like a product is out, I listen to that 7 tracks that we had. And, like, when we had a concert in the backyard. And,
yeah.
I'm over here outside of the chair. Oh! Like, I don't cry, but that's, like, my reaction to anything. Like, even the song was done. I'm like, oh! And he was like... monotone as fuck, like, yeah, I feel you.
Okay, but like you gotta see it from my point of view as an engineer.
Yeah.
I listen to each song thousands of times. So by the time it comes out, I don't want to fucking hear that damn song anymore.
So you like Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre said the same thing. He don't really listen to his own stuff after a while because he listened to it so much.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I know the song better than anybody else. Because, you know, as an engineer, I have to listen to everything analytically.
Mm.
So it's like, it ends up kind of killing that emotion for you a little bit.
Not me, I'm aware. Oh, shit! Yeah,
she's like hearing it for the first time, like, with all the mixes. And she's like, oh, fuck, the vocals sound dope! And I'm just like, okay. And I'm glad you like it. I just stop hearing it now.
I know, but I know it's a great feeling just finally finished with it, releasing it, you know, on iTunes and all these platforms. I know y'all had great reviews.
Vocally,
yeah. Like, I just, it's just a great feeling when you just finally release something or when you plan something and it's growing. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, we started off from nothing, now we're a whole company, so.
Yeah, man. So I wanted to ask y'all about that too. Thank y'all for the shirt, but the Fatal. Yeah. What was behind that whole?
Oh, well, it started with him. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I came with him trying to intern in his studio, which is Fatal, and it's Feeding Art to the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually, like, at the time, it was like 2 artists on the label.
Mm-hmm.
It was Matt and Ellis. And Nova.
Mm-hmm. It was just it.
They
still signed? Or
no, they ventured off to do their own thing.
So you have no artists signed?
Us?
No. Yeah, it's us.
So y'all would never, like, sign the artist?
We are... Actually, we have, like, a few people wanting to be a part.
Christy, I'm finna be your agent.
No, man. Christy. Christy's family. I can't even say we won't sign her.
I feel you, but everyone is just family at the moment.
But I just feel like with her, like, she's just one of the people you could just trust that...
Oh, yeah.
She's not gonna bullshit, you know? No. She's gonna... She's, like, from... Not even just to end the podcast, but just from her vibe, I'm like, bro, like, you could,
kill
like, what I'm trying to say is, let me put sports into this. You have players like LeBron James, you know, Kawhi. You have Tom Brady. You have Drew Brees. You know, you have all these superstars, these all stars that you could build a team around.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with her, honestly, she's not a. She's a team player, but she's not a role player. She's someone where you could build around her.
Yeah.
You know, she's one of them pieces.
Yeah, she's like a LeBron. You want to build your whole team around that and make it happen. Yeah,
she's versatile. You know what I'm saying?
She can go on any track, honestly. Her vocals are so diverse. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
She will fill any track.
Yeah. We've been working on a couple other records with her as well for her own personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Right now, it's just, as far as the company goes, we want to be able to focus on us.
To build the brand, to stabilize the brand, to stabilize the company, you need something stable. You don't want these artists that'll be in and out, and, you know, I'm just trying to build the foundation to where whoever does jump on board, we still have VVX, or we still have whoever else working with. I just don't want to invite too many entities into a company that's, like, barely matured yet.
Yeah, we still have a lot of footing that we have to get right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like before we could really, you know, take on that responsibility, because it is a responsibility. Yeah. This is someone else's career that's in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Before we take that on, we kind of want to be able to make sure that we are going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That we're already pulling in money that we can continue to finance us as well as whoever we're going to be helping out. And right now, things are going well for us. want to keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think by the time we're actually able to sign someone, it won't be until for at least another year. Right?
Okay.
We're just now completing our first year as a company, mm-hmm. like officially as
first
LLC.
Project as an artist. Like,
you know, so
mm-hmm.
it's
first
like
everything.
Yeah, we wanna kind of
first podcast.
Yeah,
hey, man.
Yeah, most definitely.
Hey,
appreciate it.
And like I said, hey, y'all need some media pod. Hey, I'm here.
Hey,
just hit me
man,
up.
I'm
you know
down.
The project coming out in the summer. You need
exclusive.
Me exclusive interview. Hey, I'm here.
Hey, you know we gotta get you in the studio so you can hear some of them secrets.
Yeah,
some of them secrets, man. Because like, there's literal secret albums, bro.
And
there's,
I ain't telling
like,
none
records.
Of y'all because I don't know. I always been that person, like you know. I was just talking about this the other day. With somebody, I think it was my fiance, or somebody.
It better be.
No, it was with Debbie, the artist,
oh,
and
okay.
I was telling him
okay.
like, because the album he made, "Son of a Queen," was about his mom.
Oh.
His mom had passed away like a year ago.
Wow.
And you know, he put it out there on the podcast and stuff because you know I ain't do it with Shaw. I'm sorry, I apologize for that, but I was asked like certain stuff that you want me to ask. You know, before we record, so I won't, you know, ask, but he was cool with it. And I was telling him, like, you know, I always been this person where even people, I was 15 years old, people that's like 20, 30 years old will come to me and they'll talk to me about their problems and stuff because they know I'm not fun to talk about it. Cause I'm not the type of person. I'm not going to
talk about
somebody's business, especially if it's a secret.
Yeah,
like, come on now, like, cause I'm the same way. Like, if I tell you something that I tell you, don't tell nobody. Please don't say it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like, you got to keep it,
cordial
and stuff like that. And I want to be that. I want to be someone where I don't want to be like a TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be like, you know, I love the Breakfast Club, but I ain't trying to be like the Breakfast Club.
You want him, man.
Or none of them, you know, medium outlets that I look up to. I want to be like this a home.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, this a family, like, y'all family now. You know, when y'all go up on that Sports Biz Music podcast, IG and mm-hmm. stuff, like, push our picture up, y'all in the Hall of Fame.
Hey.
You know, y'all family now. You know what I'm saying? So... I really appreciate y'all, you know, coming on the show.
No, anytime.
Man, we appreciate you, man.
Before we close it out officially, what y'all have any shout outs? You know, of course, with the album coming out.
Like shout out to the camera guy, Kiye. Shout out to Darnell. Shout out to Cam and the company.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Christy.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to King Ratty K.
King Ratty K.
J Only.
Woken X.
Woken.
Tokyo,
Ja,
Carla,
shout
out to Carla. shout out to Kula Cam. Who else? Arzu, he did help us out a couple.
Arzu,
you know,
VCR, the whole gang.
Shout out to Seldom.
Gang,
shout out to
Dino.
Shout out to
Mr. DJ over here. You know what
I'm saying? Shout out to Mr. Anonymous.
Yeah, man.
I don't know who he is because he's anonymous. I'm not here. This is all just
hologram.
Shout
out to the whole world, man. Shout out to love. Shout out to peace. Shout out to prosperity, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you again.
So
seriously.
No problem, man.
Really appreciate it.
Hopefully you enjoy your Fatalty, you know, to mark up. You're about to come out with some new stuff in the later future.
Merch is about to be ready soon. Fatal.com.
Hey, I got my camera, so, you know.
Right.
I'm going to be, you know.
Sticking in that
Be helping y'all with that, man.
Oh, you're going to be a model? We should have you as a model.
Yeah, we should. Hey, man.
Hey,
all sizes.
We got to show off the sizes. I can't be the only 2X on it. Yo, you got to have light and dark, yo. You got to have both.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you do. You do, man. Yeah, man. But before we officially close out the podcast, I'd like to say Sports Biz Music is on everywhere. iTunes, Spotify.
Hey.
Voto, hey. Radio Public, hey. iHeartRadio, we everywhere. I'm just waiting for these sponsorships to come in.
Come through.
But once again, thank y'all VVS for coming on the show. And this has been Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 27. And we out.
Yeah.